John Chisholm was a towering figure at 6'4" in boots, with a square jaw and slitted eyes. Those eyes had suspicion in them when Smoke and his riders arrived at South Springs Ranch. There were men wearing guns near the barns and corrals, a seedy-looking lot for the most part. Paid shootist if Smoke had ever laid eyes on one. And it seemed like every one of them was watching Smoke and his men ride into the ranch. Smoke swung down and walked up to Chisholm, offering his hand.
Name's Smoke Jensen, from Big Rock, Colorado Territory. I wrote you a while back, and you sent me prices on some Hereford bulls.
Of course, Mr. Jensen. I remember now. You were interested in a dozen to 15 young bulls, as I recall. I quoted you a price of $200 each, and the offer still stands.
Chisholm turned to a pockmarked gunman leaning against a porch post.
That's okay, Buck. Tell the boys they can relax and go back to work. These men are invited guests. Smoke, tell your men to turn their horses into an empty corral and then come to the house. I'll offer you coffee or whiskey, or both. And a bite to eat as soon as Maria can get the stove going.
We're grateful. It's been a long ride.
Did you run into any difficulties on the way down?
A handful of renegade Apaches gave us a try a few days ago, but we handled it.
In case you haven't heard, we're having our share of problems in Lincoln County. Only it isn't Indians who are causing it. Cattle rustling has gotten so bad I've had to hire guards to watch my herds. There have been a number of killings, and I've lost almost a dozen men. A rancher friend of mine was murdered in cold blood. Just yesterday, our sheriff and one of his deputies were gunned down. The army post over at Fort Stanton won't do anything to stop all this killing, and I fear it'll only get worse. The territorial governor, Lew Wallace, may be our only hope of ending what amounts to be all-out war.
We've heard a little bit about it.
Smoke followed Chisholm into a big log house decorated inside with mounted cattle horns and colorful engine blankets nailed to the walls. Leather chairs sat around a massive fireplace, and Chisholm pointed to one. Smoke took a seat across from the man.
You were lucky you didn't ride into a crossfire. And I'll warn you to be careful heading back with any cattle you buy from me. We got rustlers and gunmen riding all over the county, stealing cows and killing folks. I can see you and your men are all well armed, but you'd better know how to use the iron you're packing.
We can handle ourselves, I think.
Glad to hear it. If you're lucky, you won't run into any troublemakers.
Never was real lucky in that regard. But if trouble comes our way, I know what to do with it.
I'm a pretty good judge of men, Mr. Jensen. And I don't figure that's any exaggeration. Some gents send out a warning to other men by the way they carry themselves. While we don't know each other, I'm pretty sure I'd hate to tangle with you if you got mad.
I'm looking forward to seeing those bulls. And if the price is right, I'd like to buy about 200 young longhorn cows to cross them on.
I'll give you your pick of my longhorn heifers for $25 apiece.
That's a fair price if they're in good flesh. We gotta drive them a long way, so they'll need to be in good trail condition.
You'll be well satisfied. A Hereford is a good cross on a longhorn. More meat and the calves are almost disease-free. The Hereford breed is the thing of the future in the cattle market, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, my wife's been reading up on them, and she says the same thing. We're just hoping they'll take well to colder country.
They do, and they can handle the heat in the summer. If they have faults, it's that they're short-legged creatures, so they don't trail as well as a longhorn, and a purebred Hereford is subject to pink eye in hot weather sometimes.
As soon as the boys get a drink in them, I'd like to see those bulls.
I'll tell Maria to get the stove hot and fix something for everybody to eat. We can go down to the barns and look at those bulls anytime you're ready.
Billy Morton came galloping up to the log cabin at Bosque Redondo on a lathered, winded horse.
Could be trouble, Jesse.
Billy had been assigned to watch the Chisholm Ranch for cattle buyers and to see if Chisholm was hiring any more gunmen.
How's that? 7 riders leading spare horses just showed up at Chisholm's. I had my field glasses on them when they come along that road from Lincoln. They was all carrying guns, plenty of them, and I'm pretty sure I know who one of them is.
Who is he?
A fella from up in Colorado territory by the name of Smoke Jensen.
That name don't mean nothing to me.
Maybe it oughta. I spent a little time up there working on a ranch. Smoke Jensen is one bad hombre with a six gun. Up in them parts, damn near everybody knows him. He's a killer, Jesse, an honest-to-goodness killer. He's got about the meanest reputation a man can have, and there were six more rode in with him.
I'll send Roy Cooper and six of them Mexican pistoleros back with you. You show Roy who this Jensen fella is. If Jensen and his partners leave the Chisholm Ranch for any reason, Roy will know what to do. Saddle a fresh horse and tell Roy I want to see him. Before this Smoke Jensen causes us any trouble, we'll just kill him. It's as simple as that.
I wasn't joking, boss, when I said this feller's dangerous. Maybe you ought to send some more men with Roy.
I'm running this outfit. You tell Roy I want him and tell them Mexicans to saddle horses up as quick as they can. Show Roy who this Jensen fella is. Point him out through them field glasses when you get a chance. Now that makes eight of us and seven of them, and as far as I'm concerned, Roy is better than any three men with a gun. Maybe Jensen's just passing through. There's no goddamn need for you to get yourself so worked up over one man's reputation.
Morton backed away in the face of Jesse's anger, leading his horse toward the corrals. Jesse leaned back against the cabin wall. Bill Pickett appeared to have been dozing at the other end of the porch with his hat over his face. But as Billy left, Pickett sat up straight, watching Morton as he went looking for Cooper.
Morton may be right. Maybe you ought to send more men. I'll go. Hell, I ain't shot nobody in so long I plumb forgot what it's like to see a man die. All we're doing is sitting around in this stinking cow camp waiting for something to happen.
I don't put much stock in what Morton said about this Jensen being a real shooter. Maybe Jensen just stopped by the ranch to say howdy. Either way, if he leaves Chisholm's, Roy will make sure he don't go no place else. Morton ain't all that good with a gun himself, so ain't no reason why he'd know if a man was one of the best. You stay here. We'll go looking for that Billy Bonney and his friends in a day or two. If we kill about a half dozen of them so-called regulators, it'll help square things for what they did to Sheriff Brady and Hindeman. We can't let a thing like that go unpunished. Or before you know it, every son of a bitch in Lincoln County will be wearing a badge.
Well, damn. I was trying to remember if I ever killed anybody named Jensen before, which I ain't. Not that I recall, anyways. There ain't always time to ask a feller's name before you blow him to pieces.
You just be patient, Bill. You can kill that Bonnie kid instead.
Down at the corrals, men were running back and forth and leading horses to the saddle shed. Roy Cooper came ambling up to the cabin with his rifle balanced in his palm.
Morton said we were supposed to head for Chisholm's and blow hell out of some owl hoot named Smoke Jensen.
Yeah, Morton claims he's a shooter from up in Colorado territory. Him and six more just rode into Chisholm's place. Take those five Mexicans riding with Pedro and see if you can kill this Jensen and his partners if they leave the ranch. If they stay, just keep an eye on him. Find out what Chisholm's up to. If he's hiring more guns, we need to know that.
This ain't no way to fight a war, Jesse. We got damn near 30 men as it is. How come we don't ride over to Chisholm's and kill him and every last one of them sons of bitches?
Orders from Dolan. We kill him off a few at a time and don't make so much ruckus. Just take care of Jensen and his men till we get word from Dolan that things have changed. I figure them kids killing Brady and Hindeman will touch off the boys in Santa Fe. They got the purse strings, so we do what they say. After all, Roy, you ain't no different from me. We're only in this for the money.
This Jensen's as good as dead.
Smoke rested his elbows on a corral pole, admiring a group of curious, stocky young bulls. With sorrel bodies and white heads, a pair of short, curved horns, and more meat than he had ever seen on a cow.
Wow, they're more than I expected. If the crosses are even half this good, it'll mean a bigger profit for every calf we sell.
I'll show you some of the crosses when we ride out in the pastures. You won't be disappointed. You're looking at the future of the cattle business.
Smoke's men were lounging on Chisholm's front porch after a delicious meal of beefsteak, tortillas, beans, and rice.
My boys and neighbors look damn near stunned after all that food. You and me can ride out to look at the crossbreeds while my bunch recovers from Maria's good cooking.
Let's saddle a couple of horses. I got a bunch of crossbred steers close to the house in a pasture north of here. It's less than a half hour ride.
Sounds good to me. Just so you know, I'll take 15 of those bulls. A few are for my neighbors, who aim to start the same breeding program. If you got no objections, we'll pick the bulls and roughly 200 longhorn heifers tomorrow morning. I brought cash, so you'll be paid on the spot.
Then we got a deal.
The crossbreds all had white faces. Some were brindle in body color, while others were spotted like many longhorns, or solid black or brown. The steers they saw were long yearlings, born last year, and they carried more beef than Smoke could have imagined. Riding across a narrow tree-studded valley turning green with spring grass, they rode among the gentle cattle without disturbing them. At the far end of the valley, a pair of Chisholm's cowboys kept watch over the herd. Smoke noted they were carrying rifles and pistols, as if they expected trouble.
Your cowboys go heavily armed. Too bad you're having all these problems with rustling. Seems to me like the law would step in.
The law around here is mostly a bunch of crooks wearing badges, taking bribes from powerful men up in the territorial capital in Santa Fe. They looked the other way when I got robbed for the most part. Now and then they go through the motions, investigating any rustling. That leaves it up to me to protect my own interests if I want to stay in business.
So you've hired your own gunman. I guess it makes sense if it's the only way.
I feel I got no choice, unless our new governor takes some action. Things have gotten so far out of hand, it isn't safe to ride my own land any longer. These rustlers get more brazen as time passes, when nothing official is done about them. I'm hoping that'll all change this summer, but if it doesn't, I intend to fight fire with fire. I've hired two experienced manhunters, Buck Andrews and Curly Tully. If I lose one more cow or one more ranch hand, I'm sending them after whoever is responsible. I'm through sitting on the fence waiting for the law to come to my rescue. I'm taking things into my own hands.
That'd be my way of handling it. I'm a real firm believer in taking an eye for an eye.
You'll need to watch the cattle you purchase from me very closely until you get out of this area. They won't spare your herd if they think they can take it.
Let them try.
It was a sudden glint of sunlight on metal up on the ridge that made Smoke twist in the saddle, one hand reflexively going for his holstered Colt.
Watch out! Somebody's up there with a gun!
Chisholm wheeled his horse for the closest tree.
Into some cover!
Stay here and draw their fire!
Yeah!
Smoke was hell-bent on teaching a bushwhacker some manners as he reined his galloping horse among the trees upslope. Smoke saw a man kneeling with a rifle to his shoulder, hiding behind the trunk of a pinyon. He steadied his pistol. Another movement caught Smoke's attention. A stocky Mexican in a drooping sombrero turning a rifle in Smoke's direction. Smoke raced toward another shadowy shape in the dense pine forest, bending low over his horse's neck, aiming as best he could with the bounding strides of the bay throwing his gun sights off a fraction. The outline of another Mexican gunman became clear enough for a tricky shot. Smoke pulled his bay to a sliding stop at the edge of the pinyon thicket, leaping to the ground before the horse came to a complete halt. He had no way of knowing how many more men were hidden along this ridge, and now it was time to hunt them down individually, stalking them until he was certain no one else was there. Smoke crept forward, both pistols at the ready, his anger slowly cooling to a more calculated revenge. Moving on the balls of his feet, he advanced. His horse trotted back downhill to escape the noise of guns. A lone horseman was escaping the battle, apparently running out of nerve. Smoke stepped across beds of fallen pine needles, keeping to the shadows wherever he could. A moment later, he heard another horse take off at a gallop, and he wondered if the last bushwhacker had pulled out until he caught a glimpse of a running man, a Mexican wearing a sombrero carrying a rifle.
Yeah!
Staying behind trees, Smoke hurried over to the wounded man. He put the muzzle of his Colt against the Mexican's right temple.
Who sent you? You got just one chance to answer before I scatter your brains all over this ridge.
Jesse! Jesse Evans!
You ain't hurt all that bad, Pancho. Get on your horse and ride back to this Jesse Evans. Tell him if he ever messes with Smoke Jensen or any of my friends again, I'll come looking for him and I'll kill him. I want you to make that real clear. My friends and me are riding back to Colorado with a herd of cattle in a couple of days. If I lose so much as one cow or one bull, I'm gonna come looking for Jesse. There won't be no place in New Mexico territory that's safe from me if anything happens to my cows or my friends. I've got no stake in this range war, but I'll goddamn sure take a hand in it if one more shot gets fired in my direction, or if I lose a single head of livestock. You understand, Pancho?
Si, senor. I will tell Jesse.
I killed three of your partners just now and put a little gash across your ribs because you were lucky. Don't count on being lucky the next time. Tell Jesse Evans what I said.
Si, senor. I swear I will tell him.
I imagine Jesse Evans figures he's pretty tough. Pretty good with a gun. He can go on believing that if he wants. Only be sure and tell him. He's never crossed paths with Smoke Jensen before. If he does it again, I'll fill him so full of bullet holes he won't have to take his pecker out to piss, because he's going to be leaking all the time.
I will tell him that you are one bad hombre, senor. I have seen this for myself.
Smoke lowered his Colt, lifted the Mexican's pistol out of his gun belt, and took his rifle before he stood up cautiously to check his surroundings.
I don't really figure it'll do any good to give Jesse that warning, but I'm doing it anyway, just in case he's got more sense than most. Men who think they're tough usually have to be proven wrong. You can tell him Smoke Jensen is just the man who can get the job done. If it's a fight he wants, I'm the man he's looking for.
John Chisholm lowered his pistol when he saw Smoke riding down to the cattle pasture. He waited until Smoke rode up to him to speak.
I heard all the shooting. You must have scared him off. I stayed put, not knowing whether I'd be in your line of fire. When these boys rode up, we were about to head up this slope, when all of a sudden the shooting ended.
You'll find three dead Mexicans up there in those trees. I reckon somebody ought to bury them or notify their next of kin. I wounded another bushwhacker, and we had a little talk before I let him go. He told me he works for a man named Jesse Evans.
He's a ramrod of Jimmy Dolan's gang of rustlers. Only I can't prove a thing, and nobody in official circles will look into it. Evans is a paid killer from down in Texas someplace. You said you killed three of them all by your lonesome?
Mexican pistoleros by the look of them. I've tangled with their kind before.
You must be one hell of a gunman yourself, Mr. Jensen. I'd like to offer you a job, if you're interested.
My guns aren't for hire. But I did send Jesse Evans a little message, by way of his wounded sidekick. I told him if one more bullet came at me or my men, or if I lost a single cow on my way back to Colorado, I'd come looking for him, and that I'd kill him.
Evans won't scare easy.
I wasn't meaning to scare him, Mr. Chisholm. I meant every damn word. Whoever this Jesse Evans is, he'll be a dead son of a bitch if he tests me on it. Now, if you're ready, let's take a look at those young longhorn cows you're offering for sale.
Billy Morton glanced over his shoulder as his horse ran up a steep incline. Another horseman was gaining ground on him. Was it the broad-shouldered crazy man with the two pistols? He relaxed some when he recognized Pedro Lopez racing away from the scene of the shooting, the same as Billy had done when it became clear the man who rode with Chisholm had no fear, no sense of it, like a locoed bronc the way he'd charged up that mountain with both guns blazing. Pedro's horse was floundering under the punishment of spurs when Pedro rode up beside Billy. Billy looked at their back trail, found it empty.
He ain't following you?
No, El Hombre Loco is too busy killing Jorge and Carlos and Raul. This son of a bitch be muy loco to come at us like that.
He ain't just loco. He can goddamn sure shoot.
It is the truth. He comes straight at us like an idiota. I never seen a man so foolish as him before today.
It's like he wasn't afraid of our guns at all.
I see Roy Cooper ride off very fast when this madman come up the hill. He ride to the east. I don't understand. Cooper is loco himself, but he is also mean with a gun. But he don't stay when this stranger comes shooting. He run away, like he know this hombre don't be right in his head.
I didn't see which way Cooper went. I was too busy looking out for my own damn ass. Well, that guy can't have a lick of sense to charge us all like that by himself with just two pistols. He's either dumb as a rock or the meanest bastard who ever stood in a pair of boots.
Maybe so Cooper go back to get him when he think we all go away.
I ain't so damn sure. Maybe Mr. Roy Cooper ain't as tough as we think he is. He lit out of there like his tail feathers was afire.
Who can say? I see Cooper shoot those cowboys in the night like he enjoy it.
Maybe he don't enjoy it so much when somebody's shooting back at him.
Senor Jesse be plenty mad when he hear this.
Then let him face that crazy son of a bitch. We'll tell him he better bring Pickett and every spare gun he's got if he aims to kill that big bastard. I got a feeling this guy ain't gonna be easy to kill.
It's the truth. Hey, I don't see about this. Maybe so this hombre kill him, too.
Well, you're right about one thing. Jesse sure as hell ain't gonna like this when we give him the news.
Roy Cooper lay on his belly in tall grass near the mouth of the valley, putting his rifle sights on the square-shouldered cowboy who came at him earlier. He was riding beside Chisholm and his ranch hands like a man who didn't have a care in the world. Roy knew that the others were either dead or they'd deserted him, which was typical of Mexican gunmen, short on courage when things got tight. The range for his Winchester 44 was still too great to be sure of the shot, and thus Roy waited, holding his rifle against his shoulder, doing his best to keep the barrel from catching sunlight that might warn the riders below of his presence. He was sure he could take down the newcomer when the distance was right. The stranger's head turned toward the grassy hilltop where Roy lay, but only for a moment.
He didn't see me.
Then the stranger did an odd thing. He got down off his horse and walked into a line of trees while the others halted to wait for him.
He needed a piss. He's too bashful to pull his picker out while everybody's watching. Maybe I can get him when he walks out of them pines.
Time seemed frozen, although it did seem to be taking the stranger a hell of a long time to let his water down. Roy was motionless, his rifle aimed for the spot where the stranger went into the trees, judging his chances of a quick kill with just one slug. Minutes passed.
Must be taking a shit.
The others, including Chisholm, sat their horses in clear view as though nothing was wrong, never once looking up at Roy's hiding place.
What the?
Suddenly, a towering figure blocked out the sun. The glint of a huge knife blade flashed.
Son of a...
Die slow, you back-shooting bastard. You've got no balls, Pilgrim. You're just another yellow son of a bitch who can't face the man he aims to kill. I've known half a hundred like you. I don't know your name, but it don't matter who you are. What you are is dead, only not yet. Not till the ants feed on you for a spell, until your blood runs all over this hill. Wish you could live long enough to tell this Jesse Evans he's messing with the wrong man, but you won't. You'll be dead in half an hour, maybe less. Bleeding to death is a hell of a slow way to die, mister. I hope it don't hurt too awful bad. But if it does, think about all the cows you stole that wasn't yours. Or the men you killed who never had a chance. Think about those things while you're dying. You ain't got long.
Roy fell back on the grass, unable to breathe at all now.
Adios, cowboy.
Jesse watched two men ride in at a hard gallop with a vague sense of apprehension. He recognized Morton and Lopez by their horses.
Something's wrong.
Pickett came up from his bullhide chair, squinting in the sun's glare, cradling a shotgun in the crook of his arm.
It's that Morton boy and Pedro Lopez. He's after their horses with a spur mighty hard.
I wonder where Roy is. It ain't like Roy to let them split up, unless there's been trouble.
Billy and Pedro galloped their winded mounts up to the cabin.
We got real problems. Big Bastard showed up at Chisholm's. We had it all laid out to kill him, only he come at us like a nest of hornets. He rode right up the ridge where we was hiding and started shooting like a bullet was never gonna hit him. Roy Cooper took off in the other direction as soon as it happened.
He's true, Senor Jesse. This stranger, he don't be afraid of nothing. He ride his horse toward us while we be shooting, and he don't act afraid.
But where the hell is Roy?
He run away, just like Billy say. He ride off like he be scared of this hombre.
That's horse shit. Roy ain't afraid of nobody.
I can't explain what he did no other way, boss. Yeah, he jumped on his horse and rode east as fast as that brown gelding could travel.
Uh-huh. What happened to the others?
Oh, maybe so all are dead. T- This hombre, he come up shooting with two pistolas, one in each hand. He don't be afraid of our guns.
Jesse's attention was distracted by another rider coming in at Bosque Redondo. A man slumped over his saddle like he was in a great deal of pain.
Who's that?
It's Valdez. There's blood on his shirt.
Ain't nobody gonna convince me Roy Cooper took off when it was time for a killing. Go see what the hell that Mexican has to say.
Valdez rode his gelding up to the cabin with obvious pain twisting his face.
I have a message for you, Señor Jesse.
What kind of message?
This hombre, he call himself Smoke Jensen. He say he gonna kill you. He say he come looking for you if we don't stop shoot at him.
Who the hell is this Smoke Jensen? I never heard of him.
Oh, he be one mad hombre. He kill Raul and Jorge real quick. Then he killed Carlos, and he shoot this hole in me.
That bastard said he was gonna kill me? That arrogant son of a bitch had the nerve to say that?
Oh, see, Señor Jesse. He say he want me to tell you how he kill you if anybody shoot at him or his compadres again. This be what he said to tell you.
God damn it, Pickett, who the hell is Smoke Jensen?
Never heard of the bastard.
Billy, where'd this happen?
North of the Chisholm Ranch, maybe 10 miles.
And you claim Roy took off running when it happened?
Yes, sir, that's sure the way it looked. Roy jumped on his horse and rode east as fast as that pony could travel. Last we saw him, he was headed for the Pecos River.
That ain't like Roy. Maybe he's gonna ride a circle around him.
It sure as hell didn't look that way, boss. As soon as Raul and Jorge got killed, Roy took off. He never fired a shot at this Jensen feller.
Roy ain't no goddamn coward.
Well, maybe he just knowed it when he was outgunned. That Jensen never wasted a bullet. He killed Raul so quick, it was like they were standing 2 feet apart. And then he shot Carlos and Jorge. All of them from the back of a running horse. I took off right after that when I seen there was no stopping this Jensen. He ain't no ordinary man.
You ain't nothing but a yellow-bellied son of a bitch, Morton. Get your gear and clear out of here. I'll have your wages ready.
I'll go saddle a horse and we'll see if he's as tough as they say he is.
You tell those boys from up in Arkansas to ride along with us. Chisholm may have hired himself a fancy shooter, only we'll see how good he is when the odds are against him. That one-eyed fella from Arkansas, he says he can hit a sparrow on the fly with a Sharps rifle. We'll let him show us how good he is.
Pickett ambled off toward the corrals in no apparent hurry to get things started. Jesse looked at Billy.
Get your gear out of the bunkhouse, Morton. You're finished with this outfit, and if I ever lay eyes on you again, I'll kill you myself. Valdez, have somebody fix you a bandage for that scratch. Then get mounted on a fresh horse so you can show us where this all happened. Jensen could be dead by now if Roy caught up with him. One thing you can bet on, Roy Cooper didn't run from no kind of fight.
Smoke heard horses coming up the hill as he wiped blood off his bowie knife on the dying man's pants leg. Standing out in plain view, he knew Chisholm and his cowboys could see him now, and they were riding up to see what had brought him there. He'd only said to wait for him until he took care of a little unfinished business, without telling him a man was lying in ambush for him on this hilltop just out of rifle range. Again, he'd seen a flash of polished metal in the sun as they were riding out of the valley, and he knew what it meant. There wasn't time to explain.
What happened, Mr. Jensen?
We had another surprise waiting for us. Another gent who thought we'd ride right past his hiding place so he could shoot us down.
Damn, that's Roy Cooper, another one of Dolan's hired guns. A feller told me Cooper had a real bad disposition, that he was sure enough a hired professional killer.
He should have chosen another line of work. It's just one man's opinion, but it don't seem he was all that good at it.
You killed him with a knife? How come you didn't use a gun? You must have slipped up behind him.
He was real busy watching what was in front of him. It's a mistake a lot of men make before they wind up on Boot Hill.
Chisholm watched Smoke mount his horse, still not quite ready to believe what he'd just seen or heard.
For a big man, you sure as hell get around mighty quiet. It's hard to slip up on a man from behind like that. All you had to do was shoot him. You'd have been within your rights, seeing as he was trying to kill us with a rifle.
Smoke was far more interested in the beefy carcasses of Chisholm's crossbred Hereford steers right then. The incident with Cooper already pushed from his mind, even though the gunman was still alive, although breathing shallowly. Smoke gazed across the valley, thinking of cattle like these carrying a Sugarloaf brand.
I got no choice but to agree with you, Mr. Chisholm. Herefords represent the future of the cattle business out west. A longhorn's tough, and they can get by on poor pastures, but they don't carry the meat these crosses do. In a couple of years, I hope to have steers like those yonder ready for market.
You're quite a puzzlement, Mr. Jensen. On the one hand, you seem like a very knowledgeable cattleman. But when the shooting starts, you behave like a seasoned Indian fighter or a trained soldier.
Sometimes a man's got to be a little of both if he aims to hold on to what's his.
The night was clear and chilly, near 40 degrees, as Smoke, Pearly, Johnny, and Joey Wells stood at the corral fence examining Chisholm's Hereford bulls in the light of the moon. Cal and Cletus and Duke were inside the house enjoying another piece of Maria's chocolate pie. Joey seemed a bit doubtful.
Well, they look too short-legged to suit me, but the dam sure got meat on them. I reckon it's the crosses that count. Until a railhead comes close to Big Rock, we still gotta drive our cattle to market a hell of a long way. Short-legged cow ain't gonna cover much ground in a day, but I'm ready to try a couple of bulls. Pretty little wife of yours done a lot of convincing when we talked about Herefords last fall. Put me down for two of them young bulls. Sure hope we make it all the way back home with them, Smoke. After what them two cowboys of Chisholm's told us this evening about all that shooting you did up north of here, I'm wondering if us or these cattle will ever see Big Rock Country.
There's always a risk, Joey. I never once got up in the morning with any guarantee I'd see the end of the day.
I like our chances. I ain't saying it's gonna be easy, but I still like our chances of getting home with these here stump of bulls. One thing they ain't gonna do is outrun no horse.
It's outrunning lead we have to worry about, with all these hired guns on the prowl.
Smoke heard a noise near the bunkhouse. Four of Chisholm's men were unloading dead bodies wrapped in canvas tarps from the back of a wagon, arranging four corpses in a neat row near the front porch.
We'll make it, Johnny. Let's get some shut-eye. Tomorrow I'll pick up 200 head of young cows for me and Sally's new herd. Then we'll be on our way.
It's been a spell since we had a roof over our heads. I'm gonna sleep like a baby tonight in one of them rawhide cots.
I'm ready to turn in. Cal's gonna have a bellyache if he ain't careful. Never saw a boy his size eat so much in one sitting.
Well, I told that boy he's got worms. Can't nobody eat that much without a belly full of worms helping him.
Smoke gave the outlying Black Hills a passing inspection as they headed for bed. He wondered if the gunman named Jesse Evans had gotten word of what happened to his crew of killers today. While he didn't know anything about Evans, he was certain a shootist with a reputation on the line wouldn't take any advice from a stranger. Not until someone convinced him otherwise. Boyd, Jack, and Lee Johnson were tobacco-chewing brothers from northwestern Arkansas. On the run from the law and hanging Judge Isaac Parker's unyielding rope justice in his judicial district. Judge Parker had been known to hang three men at the same time, a fate the Johnson brothers had hoped to escape by coming to New Mexico territory. Boyd, eldest of the three, had but one eye, having lost the other to an Arkansas toothpick knife similar in size to a Bowie. Along with the Johnsons came two cousins with similar reputations. Dewey Hyde was wanted for murder in both Arkansas and Mississippi. Marvin Hyde had warrants out for him in Missouri, charging him with murdering a Methodist minister for what was in the collection plate on a Sunday morning. As a gang, they were considered a blight on the citizens of Arkansas by Judge Parker, who ordered a squad of United States deputy marshals to chase them halfway across Indian Territory. But individually, none was more dangerous than one-eyed Boyd Johnson, a burly man with a thick red beard and deadly aim with a rifle. When Boyd and his followers answered Jesse's call for experienced men who knew how to use a gun, it was a natural place for the Johnson brothers and the Hydes to show up. Now, as the hour approached midnight, Jesse led 14 mounted men into the hills west of John Chisholm's South Springs Ranch, all heavily armed. Jesse was still puzzled by the disappearance of Roy Cooper. It just wasn't Cooper's nature to turn tail and run. Roy was utterly fearless in any kind of fight, whether it be with guns or knives or fists. Cooper wouldn't have left the scene of a shootout without good reason. A plan of some sort to exact his brand of vengeance against this owl hoot named Smoke Jensen for taking the lives of Carlos, Jorge, and Raul. What Victor described, with Jensen charging recklessly into their guns, had to be nothing more than blind luck or stupidity. No man with all his faculties charged single-handedly into the teeth of seven riflemen behind cover. Those were the actions of a madman. When they could see the ranch down below, Jesse held up his hand for a halt. A light was burning behind the windows of Chisholm's main house. The bunkhouse was dark.
We'll throw a circle around him. Catch him in a crossfire. Get as close as you can to that bunkhouse, because that's where his paid guns are more likely to be. And you pour lead into them windows and kill every son of a bitch who comes out them doors. There's one at the back leading to the outhouse. Now I'll take four men and make a circle around the main house. Soon as the shooting starts, Chisholm will come running out. One of us will get him, and that'll be the end of this cattle war for good.
What'll Dolan say? He told us all we were supposed to do was rustle a few cattle and kill a few cowboys if they put up a fight. He never said nothing about killing Chisholm outright.
I'll tell him it was an accident that Chisholm got in the line of fire. Main thing is to be sure we get this fella Smoke Jensen. It's payback time for him. Valdez says he was a real big fella like Chisholm, only he was wearing buckskins. You just be damn sure you kill him, whoever the hell he is. All that tough talk about him coming gunning for me is gonna cost that son of a bitch. I'll cut off his goddamn head and stick it on a fence post at Bosque. Be a reminder to any son of a bitch who threatens me. All right, boys. Spread out. Bill, you and Tom come with me. Everybody else covers that bunkhouse. I'll fire the first shot into one of them lighted windows of the big house. As soon as you hear it, you start pouring lead into the place.
Riders spread out in twos and threes, beginning a circle around the Chisholm Ranch headquarters. Jesse led his hand-picked men down a grassy embankment toward a stand of oak where they could tie their horses.
I'm gonna enjoy this. Wish it was daylight so we could see him bleed better.
I sure hope Jimmy don't get mad over this. He said he was glad we killed Tunstall, so he didn't write no more complaining letters. Hope he feels the same way if we kill John Chisholm.
Jesse had some private doubts. Dolan wanted a controlled war that wouldn't draw too much attention in the newspapers up in Santa Fe or over in Silver City. But when Valdez brought back that message from Jensen, it got Jesse's back up.
Ain't no son of a bitch gonna threaten me like Jensen did. I'll tell Jimmy that Chisholm was hiring too damn many gun slicks and we had to do something about it.
You worry too much, Tom. Dolan ain't paying us to sit and whittle on a stick.
They came to the trees and dismounted, taking rifles and a few extra boxes of cartridges along. Pickett carried a Winchester and his shotgun, one in each hand, as they began a slow walk through the darkness towards Chisholm's house, hunkered down to keep from being outlined against a sky full of stars in case Chisholm had posted any guards.
No dogs. Means I can get close enough to use the old 10-gauge Betsy.
Smoke Jensen lay asleep beside an open bunkhouse window when something he couldn't identify disturbed his slumber. Cletus Walker and Joey Wells were at the main house talking with Chisholm over drinks, talking about the cattle market and some of Chisholm's troubles with the Santa Fe ring and L.G. Murphy and Jimmy Dolan. Smoke retired early, preferring sleep to conversation after so many days on the trail. But now, something had interrupted his sleep. Something beyond the window above his bunk. He sat up slowly, peering out at a moonlit ranch yard in the hills beyond. A vague, uneasy sensation warned him something was amiss, yet he was unable to see or hear anything out of the ordinary. Swinging his legs off the bed, he put on his boots and took his gun belts from a bedpost. And as an added precaution, he picked up his Winchester after strapping both cartridge belts around his waist. He crept to the back door and opened it softly, waiting for his eyes to adjust to the darkness.
What is it, Smoke?
Might be a good idea if you woke everybody up.
Smoke saw something scurry across the crest of a hill behind the bunkhouse.
Something's out there. Maybe just a wolf or a coyote. But it could be it's part of that bunch we tangled with today. Come looking for revenge. Get the men out of the bunkhouse and have them spread out around the corrals and barns. I'll go warn Mr. Chisholm that something ain't right out yonder. It's too damn quiet. That's always a bad sign in my experience. Make sure nobody shoots unless we get shot at first. I'll see if I can find out who it is, or if it's anything at all.
Smoke edged out the rear doorway, his senses keen. He could almost smell trouble coming on a soft night wind blowing across the ranch. Moving quietly in the shadow of the eaves where the bunkhouse roof ended, he made his way to a corner and waited, hidden by the shadows until he crossed the ranch yard to a windmill tower and a water trough, crouching down, unable to shake the feeling that something was out there in those hills. He stepped lightly along the front porch and tapped on the door, always watching those moonlit hills.
Smoke, what is it?
I think we got some night visitors off to the west, maybe north of us too.
I'll get my rifle and wake up the men.
Pearlie's already getting them up. I told him to spread out around the corrals and barns. I'll slip out there to see if it's just my imagination. I told everybody to hold their fire unless someone shoots at us first. And it'll be a good idea to douse that lantern.
Cletus appeared behind Chisholm.
Well, what is it, Smoke?
I ain't sure if it's anything yet. Just grab a rifle in case we got company.
The lantern inside went out. Smoke crept off the porch to make his way to a split rail fence around ranch headquarters. An open stretch of ground that could be dangerous to cross, but he was without choices. Hunkered down, he raced across the yard in the bright moonlight, knowing an experienced gunman would see the gleam of metal from his rifle.
Well, Mr. Evans got my message, no doubt.
Now, with a single-mindedness he could never fully explain to Sally, he would become a manhunter on a killing rampage. Something even he wasn't able to comprehend took control of him, his thoughts, his actions. A lust for killing in any way possible after someone made an attempt to take his life. Until it was over, his mind was a blank, his conscience without a voice, focused only on finding and killing his enemies. Afterwards, he sometimes pondered on what it was that overtook him at times like this, when all reason and concern for his personal safety were discarded. All that mattered now was killing, silence, and the gun on the hilltop. And he was sure there would be more guns out there, just waiting for their opportunity to arrive. Boyd Johnson knew he'd missed Smoke Jensen.
It was that damn fence. I'll get that sumbitch next time, as soon as he shows himself.
Suddenly, guns thundered from barns and hay sheds and deep shadows all across the ranch headquarters.
They was expecting us, Boyd!
Shut up, Lee! He's gonna tell that bastard right where we is!
Boyd waited, aiming down at the fence, where he'd last seen the big fellow bare-chested wearing buckskin leggings.
There was him, dammit! I had the sumbitch dead in my sights till he'd come to that goddamn fence. I know one thing for sure about this Jensen feller. He's damn sure lucky, or he'd be dead as a pig right now.
Well, how come you ain't shooting, Boyd?
Shit. Nothing to shoot at yet. No sense in letting them know where we are till we got us a target we know we can hit. Let them others waste ammunition. Remember what Pa told us when we was kids hunting squirrels? Make every shot count, because gunpowder and shot is expensive.
Scanning the spot where he'd last seen the gent he believed to be Jensen, Boyd was hard-pressed to figure where the hell that big fella could be hiding. Something tapped him then on the sole of his right boot, and Boyd whirled around.
What? How the hell did you...
I don't waste ammunition either.
Marvin Hyde decided it was time to pull back. Some of the bullets fired from the ranch were coming too goddamn close, whizzing over his head by no more than a foot or two. He did not want somebody to get off a lucky shot that would turn out unlucky for him. And in all this noise and confusion, Jesse Evans would never even know he'd moved to a safer place. Marvin came slowly to his hands and knees, pulling his rifle along in the grass, barrel still hot from so much shooting. A few feet more, and he was behind the lip of the shallow ravine where he could stand up.
Phew,
As he turned around, he came face to face with a half-naked man holding two pistols.
Huh? Who the hell are you?
Your executioner, Plowboy.
Ah!
Smoke moved on, creeping forward toward the shape of a man lying prone at the crest of a rocky knob, firing down at the ranch in regular bursts as fast as he could reload a Winchester 44. Smoke had a decided advantage tonight that he couldn't always count on. The noise made by so many rifles firing at once. This made it far easier to slip up behind his quarry, not having to be so careful where he placed each foot. The rifleman paused to load his gun, giving Smoke just the opportunity he needed.
Hey, turn around. Got a message for you from Jesse.
The Mexican with a thin mustache looked over his shoulder as he continued thumbing shells into his rifle. He opened his mouth to speak until he realized he didn't recognize Smoke's face in the dark. Then he saw Smoke's pistols.
Dios, you are not with us?
No, I ain't.
But you say you have a message from Señor Jesse.
I suppose I should have said I have a message for Jesse. Trouble is, I can't leave you alive to give it to him.
Oh, por favor, please do not kill me, Señor.
Funny you'd beg for your life when you came here to kill us. If the tables were turned, would you give me a chance to ride off?
Oh, of course, Señor. It would be the honorable thing to do in this situation when you have the drop on me.
You think I ought to give you a chance to aim that rifle at me first?
Oh, I do not believe you would do that, Señor.
Then you're calling me a liar?
No, no, Señor. I only say I do not think you will be so foolish.
Smoke lowered his pistols to his sides.
Aim it at me. Go ahead. I'll give you plenty of time.
There was a hesitation. Then suddenly, the Mexican squirmed around, sweeping his rifle barrel towards Smoke.
Long enough.
Oh, madre!
Your mother can't help you now. It'll take you a while to die being gut shot.
Oh, please, take me to the doctor. He is Messiah. Without him, I will surely die.
You sure will. Adios, bestado.
Smoke slipped away into the deep night shadows, looking for another victim, another paid assassin who came to South Springs Ranch seeking a murderer's payday. A rifle spat flame to his left, behind a thick pinyon pine trunk. Smoke crept toward the light on the balls of his feet. Jack Johnson knelt in matted grass at the base of the tree with brass cartridge casings scattered all around him. Now and then he saw a muzzle flash wink near one of the barns or a corner post of a corral. He wondered why Jesse Evan would order an attack on such a well-defended ranch.
Well, there's gotta be a dozen goddamn men shooting back at us. Evans is a fool. Nobody in his right mind would challenge an outfit armed to the teeth like this bunch if he knew it ahead of time. This could go on all night.
He took aim at a flickering flash of light.
Shit!
Jack doubted anyone on either side had been wounded or killed, but with everyone shooting in the damn dark at uncertain targets. A short pause came in the endless gunfire, long enough for Jack to hear someone behind him. He glanced over his shoulder while he levered another shell into the firing chamber.
Ain't this the worst? Can't see a goddamn thing down there. Looks like somebody ought to decide this ain't worth it and call it off.
Yeah, no shit.
Why don't you go tell Mr. Evans it's a waste of our time?
I'm looking for him now. Where is he?
Oh, him and Bill Pickett and two more is near the big house down yonder. He's gonna try and get Chisholm if they could.
Shoot him down in the dark, huh?
Hell yes. Who the hell are you anyways? And how come you're asking so many goddamn dumb questions?
My name doesn't matter. What does matter is that you've got only a few seconds to live. I'll tell Evans what you said, that he ought to call this off.
Pickett kept his rifle trained on a shattered window of the house where rifle fire exploded now and then.
Told you something was wrong, Jesse. They was ready for us. Some son of a bitch warned them we was coming. I figure it was that little coward Morton after you ran him off. He probably rode over here and offered to throw in with them, telling Chisholm we was on the way. That way I got it figured. One of them slipped around behind him. Them Arkansas boys, and now he's taking pot shots at them with a pistol. If they're as good as they claim to be, one of them will kill whoever it is. That last pistol shot was 5 or 10 minutes ago. Maybe the bastard's already dead if one of them farmers got him. Come to think of it, there ain't been no shooting at all coming from them hills lately.
If I find out that little bastard Morton warned him, I'll kill him myself. I still can't figure out what's taking Tom so long to get back here.
I think I see him coming now.
Tom came up a draw behind him, moving in a crouch to avoid flying lead, and he hurried up to Jesse as best he could.
Big trouble, boss. Somebody sneaking around up in them hills killing off them pig farmers from Arkansas. The one-eyed Johnson brother is dead, and so was the young skinny one. I found that big red-headed guy with the top of his head blowed off, and it damn near made me sick to my stomach. His brains was all over the place, only the big bastard was still breathing. I left him laying there. I got the hell out of there as quick as I could to bring word down to you. At least one of them got behind us, maybe more.
This has got to be Morton's doing. He was ready for us. Hell, they was already spread out all over creation as soon as the first shot was fired. I swear I'm gonna kill Morton. It ain't my way of doing things to pull away from a fight, but if some of them got behind us, we'd be caught in a crossfire. Spread the word to pull out. Warn the boys over to the south to clear out now.
As far as I can tell, we ain't shot nobody tonight. It was them that done all the killing.
Well, goddammit, we rode into a trap.
Keeping his head down, Jesse ground his teeth together while they made for their horses. One double-crossing son of a bitch had done him in tonight. He was sure of it. Pickett seemed reluctant to leave, glancing over his shoulder and scowling in the moonlight.
Wish I had the chance to kill at least one of them. Don't seem like it's asking too much to be able to kill just one. I ain't smelled no blood in so long, I plumb forgot what it smells like.
Look, Pickett, we'll get another chance. Lopez told me there's at least a dozen more pistoleros headed up from Juarez to hire on with us. Said they'd be here by the end of the week. If Chisholm thinks he's heard the last of us, he's goddamn sure in for a hell of a surprise.
They reached their tethered mounts.
I reckon that Jensen fellow was all talk. Every one of them yellow bastards kept their heads down so damn low there wasn't nothing to shoot at. The only thing they did smart was putting a few men behind us, and they couldn't have done that unless Morton warned them we was coming.
Jesse mounted, thinking about the warning Valdez had brought him from Smoke Jensen, whoever the hell he was, about how if one more bullet flew, he was planning to kill them all, including Jesse.
Like you said, just big talk is all it was. Maybe he got lucky killing those pistoleros like he done. If it hadn't been for Morton, we'd have killed Chisholm and every one of his shooters tonight. That Buck Andrews and Curly Tully were supposed to be bad men. Killers. Only when the shooting started, they stayed down just like the rest of them, including that big-winded Jensen fella.
Jesse reined his horse around.
Tomorrow, I'm gonna ride up to the Mescalero Reservation, see if some of them red-skinned bastards who know how to shoot are interested in making a little money. There's always a few renegades looking for some excitement. One way or another, I'm gonna have John Chisholm's ass. Help!
They were a few miles from the Chisholm Ranch when Tom Hill, Ignacio Valdez, Pedro Lopez, and three more riders caught up with them at a hard gallop.
I hear gun on a pistola. I go see where he is. Only nobody is there. Only Juanito Gonzalez, and he is dying. He say this loco hombre come from behind where he was shooting, and he shoot him. Juanito tell me this hombre ask where to find you, that they have this message for you. It make no sense, Señor Jesse. How this hombre know your name and want to give you message?
Jensen. It had to be Jensen. That's who got behind us. It was that bastard Smoke Jensen. I never laid eyes on that son of a bitch yet, but I am swearing an oath I'm gonna kill him. All I gotta do is find him, and he is as good as dead.
Smoke paused before he crossed the South Springs ranch fence in the dark, fearing a bullet just might come flying his way from a nervous Chisholm cowboy after a pitched battle like the one they'd just been through.
Hey, it's me, Smoke Jensen. Don't anybody shoot. Looks like they cleared out.
That's Smoke, all right, man. Lower them guns so you don't shoot them accidental.
Smoke went over the fence, his pistols holstered, as Pearly and Cal hurried up to him.
How many was out there? Sounded like a whole damn army.
12 or 14. I scouted around after they left just to make sure all of them hightailed it out of here.
John Chisholm met Smoke at the porch steps. He gave Smoke a half grin.
Never heard so much lead flying in my life. They had us surrounded. Must have been at least 20 riflemen out there.
More like a dozen or so. A few more than that, maybe. I got 6 of them by circling around behind some of their positions. No sense going after the bodies till daylight comes.
You killed 6 of them? How in the hell did you do that without getting your ass shot to pieces?
They didn't expect nobody to come at them from the rear, I reckon.
You're an amazing man, Smoke Jensen. Talk about knocking off half a dozen men like you'd been out picking peaches. Those boys were hired gunmen, not amateurs. And I've heard Evans and Dolan have sent word all the way to Mexico that they're hiring top shootists to fight on their side of this war.
They didn't appear to be all that experienced, not to me. Maybe I didn't get the cream of the crop this time, but if they come back again, or if they try to stop me and my friends from driving our herd up to Colorado, I'll test the rest of them. I don't pay much attention to what a man's reputation is supposed to be. Just because some fool hires out to kill other men don't make him good at it.
You sure as hell know your business. I wish you'd consider a proposition for me to stay on until this range war is over.
I'm in the cattle business, Mr. Chisholm. Like I told you before, my guns ain't for hire at any price.
But you can't deny you know the profession, the gunman's trade. I've seen you in action.
I've had a little experience with it.
What made you change? It must have been something of great importance to you.
A woman. My wife broke me of a lot of bad habits. I don't figure she's done with it yet.
She is certainly an influential lady, even if I haven't met her.
It isn't so much just influence. When she gets her mind set on doing things her way, it's just mighty hard to change it.
Smoke glanced into the house through a broken windowpane.
If all your whiskey bottles didn't get busted up, I could use a swallow or two of that good stuff from Kentucky before I go back to bed.
I'll have one with you, and I'll send a bottle out to the men. They've earned it.
Chisholm led Smoke inside. He lit a lantern that revealed shattered glass all over the floor.
We were lucky tonight.
How's that?
Lucky to have you here. Maybe this will serve to discourage Evans and Dolan from making any further attempts like this one.
I wouldn't count on it. Men like those who visited us just now ain't so easily discouraged. They'll be looking for a payday. I'm not much of a gambling man, but I'll bet we see him again before too awful long. Could be as early as tomorrow.
I sure as hell hope you're wrong.
I'm seldom ever wrong when it comes to men with bad intentions. I've had more than my share of experience with their breed.